The Arctic Railway Assassin by M.G. Leonard and Sam Sedgman. Read by Jot Davis. For Sarah Hughes, our editor, who has kept us on track. With love. If I were not a physicist, I would probably be a musician. I often think in music. Albert Einstein. Chapter 1. Up in the air. Since he'd boarded the plane, Hal had covered 3 pages in his new sketchbook with portraits and doodles. Drawing helped him think clearly. It was the way he worked through puzzles and solved crimes. Turning to a fresh page, his practiced hand conjured the aeroplane aisle onto the paper. His art pen swiftly drew the seats ahead of him and blank profiles for passengers' faces. "I'm making a mountain out of a molehill," he thought to himself. "It could mean nothing." He glanced up at the overhead locker where his rucksack was stowed. On the way to Manchester Airport, his mum had received a message from his uncle asking Hal to bring Yorkshire Gold tea bags to Stockholm. They'd stopped at a supermarket. The box of tea was in his bag. "Why does Uncle Nat want Yorkshire Gold tea bags?" The question was worrying Hal. He drew the features of the man sitting in front of him. A short beard, moustache. Hal was about to draw the baseball cap, which was flattening the man's fringe into a straight line above his thick eyebrows, when the passenger took it off. Hal lifted his pen, mildly annoyed that his subject had moved. The tea bags were an ominous sign. When Hal had travelled across America on the California Comet, Uncle Nat had told him that if he was homesick or upset, he'd have a cup of Yorkshire Gold to make himself feel better. But Uncle Nat couldn't be homesick. He'd only been in Stockholm for 3 or 4 days. So something must have upset him, Hal reasoned. He hoped it wasn't serious. He'd been looking forward to this trip all term. He didn't want anything to ruin it. The man Hal was drawing leaned forward, pulling headphones from his bag. Hal saw the top of his outer ear was strangely flat. A female passenger was chatting away to him. Hal guessed the man found this annoying because she was still talking when he put the headphones on. She stopped abruptly and scowled. Hal caught her bitter expression with his pen and smiled to himself as he looked down at his drawing. He'd got it just right. The man leaned back and closed his eyes.
"Harrison?"
Hal looked up at the much too cheerful face of the flight attendant who'd been appointed his chaperone. He was a gangly young man whose constant smile and blue-checked jacket made him look like an entertainer at a holiday camp.
"We're going to start our descent into Stockholm soon," he said. "If you want to go to the toilet, this is your last chance before the lights go on."
He tapped the seatbelt sign above Hal's head.
"I'm fine, thanks."
Hal had been excited to fly to Sweden on his own, until he'd discovered that anyone under the age of 14 had to be chaperoned by an air steward. Hal had protested that he was 13, well-travelled, and didn't need looking after, but apparently it was the rule. The flight attendant was kind, but talked to him as if he were very young, and Hal found it annoying. That was one of the things that made Nathaniel Bradshaw Hal's favourite uncle. He talked to Hal like he was a person, not a child. Uncle Nat was a travel writer, and Hal had accompanied him on some amazing railway journeys. This trip, a long weekend away, was a Christmas present. His uncle was already in Stockholm. He'd been attending the Nobel Prize Awards as a guest of an old friend. Hal was meeting him in the Swedish capital, and from there they were taking a sleeper train north into the Arctic Circle to a village called Arbisko and a place called the Aurora Sky Station to see the northern lights. Hal's heart skipped around his chest every time he thought about it. He'd already drawn a map of their route in the front of his sketchbook. On the tray table, beside his drawing, was a